Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
I said I was going to say, good morning, freedom fighters. No response to that, right? Are we not freedom fighters? We are all freedom fighters, you know. We fight for freedom. That's what we are going to study about this morning. We take a look at Galatians, and we come to Galatians chapter 5. There are a number of issues, in fact, that we are going to take a look at. And if we have to look at all the issues in Galatians 5, you realize that we cannot cover them in one chapter a week. It will probably take us something like 3 or 4 months before we can finish the book or the letter of Galatians. So those of you who are in small groups, I believe that you will have a lot more opportunity and time to discuss and go a lot deeper. If you are not in small groups, may I encourage you to be excited about learning from God's Word and find an opportunity to join a small group and have the opportunity to study God's Word together. You know, many of us talk about what is God's will. What is God's will in our life? How to discover God's will? And we say, I am looking out for a new job, I don't know who I'm going to marry, or what school am I going to, where to live, what car to buy. Should I buy a car now with the COE at this price? How do I know it is God's will for my life at this time? And many of us go to the scripture to try and discover what God is saying to us in His Word about what God's will is. But basically, what is God's will? God's will really is what God wants for us. Whom does God want you to marry? The question to ask, God, what is your will for me about the person I'm going to marry? Is to ask God, God, is this the right person? Is it what will give you pleasure and honor and that which pleases you? Basically, that's what it is. If you take a look at the first verse of this chapter, you realize that Paul talks about freedom. And we ask the question, what is freedom? For Paul says, for freedom Christ has set you free. So what is freedom? He said, you are free. In reality, a good test of understanding of priority in life or to understand God's will is whether you enjoy your freedom that God has given to you. If you take a look at this verse again, you'll find this very striking question for us. So what is freedom for me? How do I know I'm freed? And Paul says to us that this is the guarantee that God has given to each one of us. The guarantee that you are free. What are we freed from? And that's really the question that we need to examine today. Because the freedom that Paul talks about is uncompromising guarantee for us that that is God's will for us. God's desire, God wants us to have freedom. And when you have got freedom, you are in God's will. Freedom for what? Freedom. And what is this freedom that Paul is talking about? Freed from sin to follow Christ and be His disciples. Freed from sin and its encumbrances to live a life that brings glory to God. When we live our lives to do that, we are free. And that's God's will. What school do you go to? Where do you live? What car to buy? We're going to come and take a look at the definition later on. But the big issue here is that God says when He gives you freedom, He says not only give you freedom for you, but He says also that you have to enjoy your freedom. If you don't enjoy your freedom, then that freedom is not somehow right. Something is wrong with that freedom. So how do we enjoy our freedom? Now let me take a look at some negatives before we take a look at it. You can't enjoy when you try to do it yourself. You can't enjoy when you try to gain more by negotiating with God. You can enjoy freedom when you are doing it half-heartedly. Think again. Are you enjoying your freedom? If not, any of these three would be one of the issues that you're struggling with. And so how do we enjoy our freedom? Paul says, enjoy your freedom. That's the first part that we're going to take a look at. Galatians 5, 1 to 5, 13 to 15. How to have and keep your freedom. Paul tells us in verses 2 to 4 about the coming under the yoke of slavery. Now, this is the warning that Paul gives us as pointers on how to stand firm on the freedom that God has given to you. Now, the background, of course, we've been talking about it for a number of times. Some false teachers required some of them to include circumcision as a requirement to be saved. Now, Paul says, you obey one law means that you have to obey all the laws. If you miss one law, you miss all the laws. So if you make a requirement of one law for salvation, and you try to comply with that one law, but miss other laws, then you actually also miss this particular law that you take so much time and effort to comply with. And so Paul is challenging them and says, if you just make one law compulsory and ignore the rest, you are not doing everything that you should be doing. You miss everything instead. And that's the challenge that Paul says to these people. You cannot make one law as a compulsory. If you want to make one law compulsory, you have to make all the law compulsory. And when you make all the law compulsory for salvation, you've realized that you will never, ever be saved. Because no one has ever been able to comply with all the laws. And because of that, no one will be saved. The challenge Paul has given to us is this. That if you really understand what that freedom is, the freedom is that God has made you free, not by our complying of even one law. By following just one law, we will never make it. But God says, I've done it for you. Just come along with me and understand what that one law is, and that one law is to allow me to help you. And when you follow me and you do what pleases me, you've got it. You are saved. And that's all that is required of you. And so this freedom is not coerced. This freedom is collaborative instead. Because we need to come to Christ and understand that Christ died on a cross. It was not for him to do it unwillingly. He loves us. And he gave his life for us. And he comes along and says, I'm doing this for you. And I'm going to make it even easier for you. I'm going to come alongside with you with the Holy Spirit to help you to enjoy the freedom. Let me give you an example this morning. I'm going to look at the SM. An example. I'm sure you will allow me to do this. This morning as you came in, you saw the sanctuary was in a mess. Perhaps yesterday after the wedding, nobody took care of cleaning it up. And pews were all over the place. Bibles were not in place. All the ushers didn't turn up, so no ushers. No one put in the pamphlets, and everything was not done properly. And you walk into the sanctuary and say, what's happening this morning? And then here come SM down the aisle and say, hey, you, come. Do this, do that. How did you feel? Why me? The ushers are supposed to do their job. The janitors are supposed to clean up. Why am I supposed to do this? And not only that, the SM walk around with his arm on his hip and pointing fingers at everyone else with an angry face. Remember last week the question? What do you want your pastor to be? A pastor or resort manager? What will happen if a senior minister comes down, walk alongside with you in cleaning up the place, getting it ready for worship? And as he does that, he sings along, which he's very good at. And all of you started singing together with him and cleaning up the place. And by the time everything is done, all the other worshippers come in. None of them realize that anything had been wrong or amiss. That's the difference for us. Christ said, I died on the cross for you. And not only that, I'm going to come alongside with you. I'm going to work together with you in your life to enjoy your freedom. That's what it is. It is not coerced. It is collaborative. And this is the God that we have. And this is the kind of enjoyment we would have as we come together. So what is freedom? Let me come back to the definition of freedom. True freedom, then, is free from sin to do what pleases God totally. That's freedom. That's God's will. God says, I want this for you so much, I have sent my son to die on the cross for you. And all it takes for you is to come alongside with him and enjoy it. And the enjoyment comes when you do what pleases him totally. And that's the freedom we have. Isn't it wonderful? That's God's will for you and for me. Secondly, as we take a look, bargaining with God, in chapter 5, 6 to 12, we'll come along and take a look. And I often ask the question, which is easier, giving or receiving? You know, for those of you who come to the marriage prep class, you have been answering that question quite a bit. Many see our relationship with God from these two perspectives. Since God has given himself for us to make us free, we are kind of beholden to him. Right? You know the word beholden? Another SM actually used the word some time ago and talked about how bribery become a beholden to somebody. When you give bribe and you ask the person, hey, do me a favor, and you are beholden to the person. And very often this is one way that some Christians see their relationship with God. Since God has done this for me, well, I'm beholden to him. I have to do something in order to repay his goodness for me, his grace for me. And therefore, my pursuit of holiness becomes something that is done out to please God because he has done something. It's not to enjoy. And therefore, pursuit of holiness becomes a burden. And for some people, it is difficult. How can I have to do this to repay God? I can never, ever finish doing that. And after a while, we get very frustrated about having to do that all the time. And we can't do it. And we get very frustrated with our Christian life. And the more we try to please God because we want to return him a favor, the more frustrated we become. The second thing, that misconception that we often have, is that since God has given us freedom, then we need to deploy, employ, or make profits, make gains. If I memorize more verses, if I pray half an hour instead of 15 minutes, God, would you bless me more? We get into a bargaining with God. And the more you try to bargain with God, the more you try to gain favors from him, that too make you more frustrated. And you find that it is a chore to be a Christian. Not only being beholden, you are looking at your relationship with God as a kind of gainful investment. If I invest doing this, maybe God will bless me more. If I do this more, maybe I will enjoy it more. God says no. You can't bargain with God because there's nothing you can do to add anything to your spirituality. Absolutely nothing. All it takes for you is to sit back and relax and know that God is God and let him help you enjoy your freedom. So that's what it is for us. He says, sit back and enjoy. Don't try to bargain. Don't try to do things to add anything to that relationship. I've done everything that is needed to be done. All it needs for you is to trust me. Come alongside with me. Do what I tell you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. That's the benefit. That's the wonderful privilege that we have. Just be thankful for God's grace by seeking to bring pleasure to him. I pray that you would learn to really enjoy that more. So Paul, as he helps us to understand this, there's nothing that we can do to measure up. God's grace is sufficient for us. Just trust Him. Number three, how do we live a Spirit-filled life? In Galatians 5, 16 to 26. It is all about graceful living. It's all about enriching life. It's all about empowerment that God has given to us. And Paul tells us how it is to be done. Because that along with God's gifts, God has also enriched us and empowered us. But along with that, because of our past, many of us are still fighting. We are in a battle, a war. It is a challenge to God. How do I live an enriched and empowered life when I'm still entrenched in the worldly, fleshly life that I'm so used to? Why am I still going back all the time and finding myself struggling more and more, deeper and deeper, and couldn't get out of it? As we take the time to listen to people's problems, I realize that many of people who come for counseling and ask for help have this problem. It is a struggle that they are facing all the time. And this is really what is coming towards them. Here, Paul in verses 19 to 21 gives us a list of manifestations of that old nature. That old nature, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, fits of anger, dissension, drunkenness, orgies, etc., etc. That list is so real to some of us that the anger that they have is thumping of table and screaming and shouting is very much of the old nature. But God says to us, I have nailed that to the cross. All of them. So why are we struggling and why are we going back to that list of sinful nature that we have to struggle with? On the other hand, Paul says, I have given you the joy to enjoy the life that I have given to you. That is found in the fruit of the Spirit. The more the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, the more it shows that you're enjoying your freedom, the more it begins to help you realize that the characteristic that you would display as a result of trusting God more would be evident in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. So God says to us, I want you to continue to look at this fruit of the Spirit, examine yourself where you had been and say, this is what you should be looking for. Again, if you have not noticed, the fruit is singular. It's not many fruits. It's one. All of this description comes under one list. And we look at ourselves and say, do I have this in my life? Do people look at me and say, yeah, you have them. How do I know I would have them? Because this is the result of what it is. So the gospel truly frees and truly transforms. And only when you understand that this is the true gospel and a true freedom has been given to you, then you need to sit back and enjoy it. Now, however, as we take a look at this, I don't think I can stop here. Many of you will say, well, I know all that, but I'm still struggling. I know what I should have, but this is still not evident in my life. What am I supposed to do? Most people will have these three questions. Because they say, if indeed it is a liberating gospel, why am I struggling to go back to slavery in sin? If it is indeed a liberating gospel, why am I still bargaining with God? Still trying to gain His favor? To do things that will hopefully bring about more blessings in my life? If it is indeed a liberating gospel, why am I not truly living an abundant Christian life? This is why it is not good for me to just stop here. We're going to go on for another half hour. No. The liberating gospel. Let's take a look at walk in the Spirit. Today we have election and communion. We cannot go another half hour. The first thing about this is go back to your scripture now. Take a look at Galatians 5:18. Note very carefully, it says, be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Here it says to you, do not try to lead yourself. Let the Spirit lead you. Be a follower. Be someone who understands that the Spirit is in front of you. Imitate Him. Follow Him. Understand Him. Be submissive to the control of the Spirit by being teachable from God's Word and be obedient as the Spirit urges you to obey. The key, be led. Secondly, if you take a look at Galatians 5:22-23, you need to ask yourself, am I displaying the fruits of the Spirit? Take some time, come back and take a look at this list. Go through the list one at a time and ask yourself, am I displaying this characteristic in my life? When you discover you're not, go back to number one. You have not been led by the Spirit. And if you are truly led by the Spirit, then number two will be evident. Thirdly, it goes on. Galatians 5:25-26. Do my actions provoke to love and the good works? Not only do you have the fruits of the Spirit in you, but that whatever you do is actually provoking. And I like the word provoke. It is to stir up. It is to stimulate. And when people look at you, they cannot help but see that in you. And that's what provoking means. Do you provoke to love and to good works? Because the evidence of this will come when you begin to see yourself living out the life with fruit of the Spirit being evident. Then people will be challenged to say, hey, this is the kind of example I want to follow. This is what it is. You know, just this week I came across a book. I really enjoyed this book. I've not got it yet. It's not a book. It is a DVD series. In fact, it is called a DVD Bible Study Series. And this DVD Bible Study Series entitled, I Am Second. Have you got it? I Am Second. It's very interesting. It's now a movement. It is a movement because they want to challenge people to think about what does it mean to be you and I saying, I am second. Because when I am second, who is first? If you ask yourself that question, who is first in your life? When I am second, how should I relate with the first? So if you are answer to number one, and number two will come in and say, how do I relate to this number, the first? Then the third question would be, when I'm second, how would that affect the way I live my life? So perhaps we can start a movement here too. Remember some time ago I had this button that we wear. Maybe sometimes we would say, we make some buttons that say, I am second. If you truly been able to understand what I am second means, start wearing that button, I am second, and then go around. People ask, what does it mean, I am second? Oh, I know who is first in my life. Oh, who is that? You have your answer. Well, I hope, genuinely, as you think about this today, how would you help yourself to truly understand living a life that pleases our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We're going to have communion this morning. And as part of our meditation and reflection, I'm going to show you a list of questions, characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like you to just take a few moments in silence and look at the list and answer those questions. And we come to you and with gratitude in our hearts to know what you have done for us in our lives. You have given us freedom. A freedom that liberates, A freedom that is filled with joy and peace. A freedom that is not hard if we follow instructions. Here we know, Lord, that we are never ever going to be truly perfect, perfectly enjoying that freedom. Because in our lives there's just so many things that we need to struggle with. So much that we have to go back to our former lives. Be lured. Be distracted. It's so real. You know us. You know each one of us. You know where our weaknesses are. You know where we have fallen short. And this morning we ask God that you teach us, remind us that you have nailed that list of weaknesses and struggles on your cross. And all we take is to trust you by your Spirit, who has been constantly working in our lives, helping us to be who you want us to be. We bow before you now, Lord, and ask God that you would continue the work of repairing our hearts and our lives. Draw us close to you in a special way, that each day will be a day of enjoying the freedom that you have given. Each day is to make decisions that please you. Each day will be a day we would look forward to, because you are God and Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen.